Hello, ladies. It's that time of the year where we host Boot Camp. Boot Camp is an annual program that we run completely free for you guys to kick off the new year with some serious progress. So if you're ready to make recovery happen and pregnancy, but you're unsure of how to actually really like get the ball rolling, or you're feeling stuck, this boot camp is for you. It's for women who want to recover. It's for women who have tried doing it alone, but they're feeling stuck and they need some help moving out of that stuck point. And it's for women who are worried about challenges like weight gain and food rules, and they just really need support navigating them. The boot camp is a taste of what coaching is like. We take you through our onboarding process. We show you how to use the chart as a diagnostic tool for your recovery. And we even give you coaching by looking at your actual food logs and giving you live feedback. You share this time with the other women in the boot camp, but the cool thing is the boot camp has an application process and you do have to be vetted before you can get in. So it's really high quality. Everyone inside of the boot camp gets access to the HA Society for free during that time. So you get to utilize our program, our community group that actually has a monthly cost, but you get to use it for free in order to participate in the program and get full access to that. And you'll have access to our entire coaching team. There's four of us on this team, so you can get help from multiple different people, both in the boot camp groups. We have three boot camp group calls over the 8-day time frame, and in between there is access to getting food reviews. So like we will record them and we will post them so you can see not only your food review but everyone's food review. This gives you a lot of feedback and help to get you moving. We have had excellent reviews on past bootcamp calls, and you really should walk away with some solid answers and some help. And then this is also a really great tool if you're interested in coaching with us, because our Restore Your Fertility group program opens on January 19th. So if you like the boot camp, then you will know for sure if the group program is for you, because it follows our exact onboarding process that we use inside of the Restore program. So if you're thinking about coaching, you really want to recover in 2026, you're even particularly interested in getting pregnant, you have to consider and try the boot camp. So go to thehasociety.com/bootcamp, register now before January 12th, because it kicks off January 12th. There will be no late admissions. And then hopefully me and my team can help you make some serious progress. That's thehasociety.com/bootcamp. It's totally free. You cannot lose.
Freedom is a choice, and yet so many people decide not to be free.
Welcome to the Hypothalamic Amenorrhea Podcast, the show dedicated to helping women get their periods back and restore their health naturally. I'm your host, Danny Sheriff, and sometimes the show is hosted by other members of our expert team here at the HA Society. Each episode dives into real stories, science, and strategies for your period recovery. Whether you're deep in the HA journey or just starting to piece it all together, we've got you. And if you're looking for more support and connection, I promise you there are many other women going through this too. Come join us inside of our private community at thehasociety.com. Let's dive in. Hey guys, welcome back to the show. Again, I'm coming at you with another mashup of two of my YouTube channel videos where I answer Q&As. If you have a Q&A you want to submit to the show, please do. Go to Danny Sheriff on YouTube. There'll be a link in the show notes. And submit your question in the comments is the best way, or you can shoot me an email, danny@thehasociety.com, or on Instagram. Pick your pipe, whatever you want to do. Today, I'm giving you the audio from two Q&A episodes. One is about exercise and light bleeds and postpartum amenorrhea questions. And then the other episode that I'm putting into today's is about mucus patterns before your first period and a listener question about being able to run, but at a very, very low intensity. So basically, you know, if I scale back my running a lot, can I still recover? Enjoy.
So Ginny sent me a message saying, hey, you've been so helpful with my recovery journey. When I was 18, I developed and then recovered. I developed an ED and then recovered. I put that in quotations because I was stuck in quasi-recovery for a couple of years after that. In July of this past year, I was finally done with my own BS and fully committed to recovery. I got my first period in 4 to 5 years. Yay! However, it was really light. Is this normal for the first recovery period? Yeah, it is pretty normal. And there's a few reasons for this. But basically, when someone's been in quasi recovery, they're doing a lot of things right, but they're still also doing a lot of behaviors not so right that are really gonna help you recover quickly. So when that's happening, where building a uterine lining on not a lot, just enough, or eating enough to have some hormonal activity, we may be eating enough to build up a uterine lining, and then either you won't quite have enough energy coming in, for example, and however, the uterine lining has developed past a certain level of thickness. What goes up, what builds up must come out at a certain point. So once that uterine lining gets a little too thick, it needs to shed eventually. So if you maybe have a week or two where you're eating plenty, allowing that process to happen, but then you back off, you might have an anovulatory bleed where the uterus just kind of needs to cancel, quit, and get it out of there. Or what's happened is, yeah, you've had just enough to build a uterine lining, just enough to ovulate, and so you have just enough to bleed a little. HA is a spectrum, so you could have all the way on one end is nothing, all the way on the other end is high estrogen dominance, awful periods, heavy periods, multiple days, that kind of thing. And then where you are at is on the spectrum of like, okay, we're on our way to healing, but we don't quite have enough to fully get a period within the ideal parameters with a strong, healthy bleed. So when that's happening, it's still just a sign of low hormone production for all the exact same reasons that you might see your actual period missing. So if you have that history of quasi-recovery of EDs and things, you really have to look there first and keep that in mind. Okay, Megan says, hey Danny, I just discovered your account and podcast and I'm hooked. Thank you for all you do. You mentioned that I can send questions through Instagram. I hope that's okay. Yes. I'm almost 15 months postpartum, but I've been weaned from breastfeeding for almost 3 months. I did unintentionally lose weight while breastfeeding, but have been trying so hard to gain it back this past year. The past month or so, I've been seeing so much watery and creamy cervical mucus, but still no ovulation. Occasionally, it's kind of stretchy and goopy. Can you talk more about what this type of mucus means from recovery? From experience with your clients, how soon is recovery around the corner after experiencing this type of cervical mucus? I know everyone is different. I like this question because this happened to me. I think that this is surprisingly common. You finish breastfeeding, nothing. While you're breastfeeding, it's probably dry as a desert. Right after, you're waiting about 6 weeks to see some signs of recovery before you determine, okay, maybe what I'm doing isn't working. I need to kind of revisit the foundations here. So that totally happened to me. And then I went back onto the foundations, right? Which is different for everybody, but across the board generally does tend to involve eating more and resting more. So she probably needs to do something like that. And hence she did. And so now she's seeing a lot of cervical mucus. And she's maybe even seeing buckets of it to the extent that she needs to change her underwear regularly, but still no ovulation. So I do think that this means that ovulation is imminent for someone. Like, she's probably talking buckets. Like, when this happened to me, I had never had, I had never had cervical mucus to that extent in my life until postpartum, trying to get that first ovulation to happen. And it happened right as I started eating more food. And I was like, okay, great. I'm going to wait this out. It felt like weeks that I was having this happen, that it was actually like affecting my life. And then I still wasn't quite ovulating. And I just was like, this is weird. I don't want more weeks of this buckets of mucus. So I can't remember now. I have it in a video. What I did, I think I either ate more or backed off training even further or something like that. Just something basic, just like we would with anyone else, right? When you're right there, but no changes are happening for weeks, your body is like still needing that shove. So that's most likely what's happening with you. You definitely have a thick lining. You definitely have follicles trying to get to maturation, but something just needs to give it a big shove across the line. And I think that's what's going on there. Okay. And then, Orang 1414 says, do you have any advice on how to determine how many calories to eat if you have recovered your menstrual cycle after HA and you want to incorporate exercise again without losing your cycle? I've had 3 consecutive cycles without any activity, but want to start moving my body in a healthy way. Anyone who's been around long enough already knows the answer to this, but likely had to change her underwear too. Yeah. It gets serious out there. So for bringing exercise back in, this will be not new information for a lot of you guys. It's just, okay, cool. Decide on what you're going to bring in first. Make it reasonable. Right? So like 1 day, 2 days, something progressive, something not crazy on the body. Eat food, track your cycle, make sure everything is looking good. If everything is looking good, you can either choose to continue as is, or if you want to add more, you can. And you can add exercise or whatever you want to do till cows come home, as long as you're tracking it and it's looking good. This is your monthly report card. That's something that's nice about women, is that we get this report every month that says, hey, you handled stuff pretty good. And men don't really get that. So if your follicular phase looks good, if your ovulation is timely, if your baseline temperatures are good, if your luteal phase is good, if your bleed is good, you are probably good. So you can continue to train and add in exercise. And if it's not looking good, you need to adjust, right? So if your training is the most important thing, do you want to get back to it? Once you have that regular cycle, probably your highest priority needs to be eating, right? And, or, you know, maybe you brought it in and you tried to do it in the morning and it wasn't working for your period. So now you need to move that training to the afternoon. And a lot of people see success with that. So it doesn't have to be all or nothing. It's all about small tweaks. Annoying thing about being a woman is it takes a whole month to find out if it worked or not, typically. Using your temperatures and mucus and stuff, you know, you can get information sooner. So you can probably tell within a week if you're handling the exercise okay, if your baseline temperatures are going all right. You'll find out within 2 weeks if you ovulated timely, and you'll find out within a month how everything is trending. And then you make that decision about whether or not your training or your fuel or your rest or your training times and frequency and load is appropriate. Now figuring out which thing to tweak, I don't know how most people feel about like their confidence in their ability to do that. That's a different question, I think. How long of a bleed is ideal? So your cycle, your cycle parameters are all of the different sections of your cycle, from day one to the last day. And the bleed parameters would be anything from 4 to 7 days is probably pretty appropriate. I wouldn't worry about anything if it's falling within that, even if changes a little month to month, but do notice if you typically have a 6 or 7 day bleed and now it's gone to a 4 day, that's probably something to pay attention to. But then again, right, you have to maybe make changes or choose to pay attention to the pattern, maybe not change anything yet, and wait another month. So inherently, you must be patient. And that's why it's important not to freak out during this process about, like, it's so easy to get really invested in it every single day emotionally, but you just can't, because you really need to take a strategy, stick to it, and wait it out for a significant period of time before you know for sure if it's working or not. And you're getting, this gets easier as time goes on. You kind of get like bored of stressing about it, maybe. Or you start to learn to, like, okay, every month I worry about this, and every month it works out, right? And the worst case scenario is that your period didn't look as good this month and you have to make an adjustment. And it's often not always a massive adjustment. If you had some nice regular cycles while you're resting, the likelihood that you introducing exercise makes it completely disappear overnight is kind of low. That does happen a lot if you introduce it right after like your first or second period. But if you've waited for several, you have a much higher likelihood that it's not just going to disappear overnight. Even if you are not, quote, perfect at introducing it and feeding yourself, or introducing it and not going too hard from the beginning or something like that. I'm hoping that this is making sense for you guys.
Hey, are you trying to recover and maybe even fall pregnant naturally? I thought that might be you. And if so, we have created our best ever yet resource for you. Totally free. This is a masterclass. I've called it my masterclass because I have put everything into this, right? This masterclass is designed for you if you have HA or have had HA and are dealing with suboptimal cycles and you're serious about restoring those babies to full optimization and you want to create the ideal foundation for a pregnancy. This is going to be for you. So, in this masterclass, I'm going to provide you a lot of things, including a lot of case studies, mine, Ashley's and Mishi's, as well as lots of our past clients and what their challenges were and what they had to do to overcome it. And we cover a really wide variety of types of cases of HA. So everything from primary amenorrhea and missing periods for years and years to short-term amenorrhea and what we did to handle that situation as well, and how long it took these people to go from HA to pregnant with this system, and how long it took them to go from HA to ovulating, of course, with this system. So lots of information, lots of case studies, lots of stats. We go through why this is not a weight gain plan and how we actually divide you into phases, the three phases of HA, and determine what your starting point is so that you have a good idea of where you need to start with your actual changes in lifestyle and nutrition changes. We even cover questions like HA and people with a normal BMI and recovery for people who have had HA for too long. There's so much in this 60-minute masterclass. Y'all, I'm impressed. And at the end, I'll also be running you through how to get a free HTMA, hair tissue mineral analysis, through us, which is a part of our process for recovery and preconception clients that we're happily going to give you for free $99. As a massive thank you, of course, for joining the masterclass. So go to thehasociety.com/masterclass or head to our website and you'll find a link for it and find when the next available presentation is going to be. That's thehasociety.com/masterclass. Okay, and now let's move on to the next Q&A.
And hey guys, welcome back to my YouTube channel. I'm doing both a live stream and a YouTube video at the same time, answering Q&A. So if you have a question you want submitted to the show, please do so by commenting on the YouTube video below. That would be great. Or you can email me, danny@thehasociety.com. This first question is from Karina, who has emailed in for me. So Karina says, "Hey Danny, I'm currently in HA recovery, no period yet, but I believe I'm making progress, and I was wondering if you can help me understand some symptoms. I haven't had a period since March 2024. I'm in recovery by actively increasing my caloric intake and resting more. On July 31st, I saw egg white-like cervical mucus, and then on the 5th, I experienced spotting for 3 days. Then on August 18th, I saw egg white mucus again, and then on the 28th, I saw more egg white cervical mucus. Is this a sign of progress, and are these attempts at ovulation?" I think it's really good to understand what the mucus means for recovery, because this is a common thing. I'm curious for anyone in the chat or in the comments if you have found like understanding the role of mucus and then what it means for your recovery confusing or not. But here we go. So from a physiological view, right, the goal of cervical mucus is to keep sperm alive for long enough for you to ovulate and get pregnant. So in a healthy, regular menstrual cycle, you're going to see this for like 3 to 5 days right prior to ovulation. So you know if you're seeing it, you typically have not ovulated yet in a healthy menstrual cycle. Once it stops and your temperature spikes, you have ovulated, no more cervical mucus. There's no really real point in it being produced, and the cervix closes so it can't come out, even if it were being produced. So when you don't have a period and you finally start seeing cervical mucus, this is evidence that your body has a follicle somewhere on an ovary trying to come to maturation, trying to ovulate, which this person, Karina, knows, and she understands this. But she's like, "I'm seeing it, and then not long after I'm ovulating." Not long after I'm bleeding. When you have HA, just because you see mucus does not mean you definitely have ovulated. So like she's wondering, it absolutely could be a sign of attempts at ovulation. She has not said that she's tracking her temperature. And you can't be sure if you've ovulated when you're someone with a recent history of HA by using mucus only. There are ways that you can confirm if you ovulated with mucus only methods, but you do need to be like far and away out of amenorrhea and cycling regularly to get to a point where you can do that. You need to be cross-checking this with temperatures. So Karina, you're never gonna know, because you did see blood really shortly after seeing mucus. Like you saw July 31st, you saw mucus, then you bled on the 5th. So that's only 5 days. You could have ovulated, but you also could not have, because an ovulation often, you know, it's not gonna hold out for very long. So it really could look like a short cycle. You need to be temping to confirm that. Otherwise, you're not going to have the answer to your question, but like you're not going to know for sure if you ovulated, but it definitely is a sign of progress, and it definitely is your body attempting to ovulate. Hope that helps. Okay, let's do a second question. Ariana said, "Hey, when I stopped breastfeeding, I thought my period would come back, but it never showed up again, and it hasn't arrived for 6 months now. I lost a few kilos while I was breastfeeding, but above all, I went through a difficult and stressful time. But I do eat 1,800 to 1,900 calories a day, and my hormones are okay according to my medical tests. Only LH and prolactin were low. Why doesn't my period come back? What am I doing wrong? Sometimes I have very strong pelvic pain, and I always hope it's my period or ovulation, but nothing happens." So I don't know anything about your like height and weight, but it's highly possible that 1,800 to 1,900 calories is not enough for you. I don't know about you guys. I remember when I was eating like 1,700 calories, and I felt like that was a lot. 1900, I remember getting there. I had HA at 1900 calories, easy. I had HA at 2200 calories. So seeing how many calories you're eating, no matter what the number is not likely to be like something I can tell you if it's enough or not. But time over time, that amount of food is not enough. So if you have been breastfeeding and you had a pregnancy and all that good stuff, you know, you're probably in a deficit and you're probably not eating enough. That's not enough for breastfeeding. You're going to have to get yourself out of that deficit. And I know you finished breastfeeding, but if you still don't have a period, well, then you know that it's not enough, right? If you know this is HA, you know that's not going to be enough food for you. And your hormone levels coming back okay is pretty standard for HA. So if anyone's doctors are like, well, your labs look normal, that's actually a clue for us that it actually could be HA, because there are no other lab numbers standing out, creating reason for you to think it's something else, right? That's kind of how it works. And if your LH and prolactin are low, that actually makes sense. So obviously your prolactin is low, meaning it's not the breastfeeding still being like, it's not the prolactin still being high in your system from breastfeeding. So that this is most likely what it is. Let's go to one more. But of course my screen is like hella zoomed in. I don't know what to do. There we go. Y'all should see the setup I have here to try and do a live stream and a YouTube video at the same time. Okay, Rachel. Rachel says, hi Danny, I've been listening to the pod for a while now, and I think I only really started to make progress in my recovery because I found it. Thank you. Thanks for bringing awareness. My question is, can I run at a very low intensity? Heart rate no higher than zone 2. I've been recovering for a long time now, about 22 months. I have my periods back now, but they're still irregular. It took me a very long time because I initially started to go all in. I had my hormones tested in April and I wasn't ovulating on my own that time. Now I'm unsure whether I'm ovulating naturally because I've been trying to get pregnant. So I have been taking letrozole. I actually did get pregnant, but sadly I miscarried about 6 weeks ago. I've still been doing a lot of the things for a very long time now. Eating a lot, more variety, more calories. I decreased my exercise to just walking and doing 2 reformer Pilates sessions weekly. I've changed jobs and I've dropped a day of work to be part-time to reduce stress. I'm seeing a therapist, I'm doing acupuncture, restorative yoga, and somatic exercises, and prioritizing rest and sleep. Whew. My question is, can I start running again if I keep my heart rate very low? As in, still be able to have a full conversation and not be out of breath at all. I feel like this is barely more than fast walking, but it would really help with my mood and mental health. Exercise has always been a huge part of my identity since I was a child, and I love it and miss it so much. I cry all the time because I'm just so jealous that my husband and all my friends are allowed to run, and I'm not. After being on this journey for a really long time, it's just wearing me down. What are your thoughts? P.S. I'm only hoping to do one of these mental health runs per week, and only for a very short distance. I actually wonder if it's not so much going to be for you about like, if you're 22 months in and you don't have a period and you introduce running, but you don't change anything else, nothing's going to happen for you in the direction you want. You're unsure if you're ovulating naturally because you're on letrozole. This is tough, right? This is not... Once we start introducing exogenous hormones like letrozole, Clomid, progesterone, estrogen, any of those things, we're leaving the world of natural fertility entirely, right? It's interesting to be unsure if you're ovulating naturally started going on letrozole, like, you would want to probably want to confirm that, but I could totally see doctors putting you on letrozole anyways. So there's that, but you've exited the world of natural fertility at this point. So the run is probably much of a muchness at that point. You're not going to not ovulate on letrozole just because you're running. But if you want to ovulate naturally, this is a different question. And for most of the people listening, they are actually people who want to ovulate naturally. So with that in mind, I would say that if Rachel, or if, you know, if you're 22 months into recovery and nothing is happening, there's a deeper dive that I want to do on that. It shouldn't take you that long if you're all in. There's something about that that's not sitting well for me. And what's fascinating is you're doing everything. I mean, I would love to have a conversation with Rachel because I have questions, right? I want to, like, if you're seeing a therapist, you're doing acupuncture, you're doing yoga, you're doing somatic exercises, you're prioritizing rest and sleep. This girl's doing it all. Like, props to her. She's 100% in on this. And is it possible that she's too in on it? Because this should be working. Is it possible she initially struggled to go all in? Is it possible that she's doing everything but some of the things that she truly needs to? Like, is she eating enough carbohydrates? Is she eating enough in general? Or is she trying to avoid having to do that by doing therapy, acupuncture, yoga, etc.? Because you cannot avoid the food part. You can't out-supplement. You can't out-breathing exercise. You can't out-ashwagandha your recovery. None of that can be done. So my concern is food will not increase, but she'll add this run and stay stuck and have only letrozole to go with. But if she, and so like she obviously got her period back and she never confirmed if she was ovulating, she just went straight on hormones, which tells me the desire for a baby is super duper strong. You're just like, I didn't even have time for being unsure at this point. I'm done. I want to have the kid. I'm going to go on letrozole. So if that's your goal and you're going to do it that way, you may be able to continue running. If the running doesn't work, like if you are still not getting pregnant, I'd back off the running again. If backing off the running but continuing to take the letrozole still doesn't work, something else is missing, which brings me back to like Rachel, let's just fill out a coaching application and let's just do at least like a one-time consult to go through all of this, look at your logs, look at your history. I want to know your height to weight. I want to know how much walking you do. I have the questions about all of that stuff, right? Because the answer is going to be in the minutiae. It's going to be in the context of everything before we can be certain that like you have an unexplained infertility issue. You know what I'm saying? I hope that was helpful. I know what you want is just like permission to go for the run. I mean, go for the run. But you know, and I say this all the time, you just have to be willing to admit when it's not working, and you have to eat enough food. You have to. So I think when people say they're all in, that obviously means a lot. You're eating a lot more. But I don't know, like, was your relationship with food before so, like, were you eating so little food that your idea of all in is coming up to maintenance and that's just never going to be enough, right? You need to go into surplus to recover. And maybe you feel like you're in a surplus because you used to eat so little. I have so many questions. So I hope this is helpful. And like, Rachel, we should chat. And thanks for joining me, guys, for the live stream and on YouTube. And I'll see you guys next week. And I appreciate you all. Bye.
Thanks for listening. If that episode has you feeling pumped up and motivated, then you're ready to go deeper. Come and join us inside of the HA Society community. When you join, you'll get an included one-on-one breakthrough call to map out your next steps with a member of our team. resources on body image and mindset, meal ideas, and deep dives into the science of HA, and the best part, our live community calls held multiple times a week with our coaching team and members just like you. And PS, when you get your period back, head on over to my other show, Stop Being Perfect, with Danny Scherf. This is for women who have already recovered to talk all things life after HA, training, exercise, parenting, and even just getting after life now that you're free. This show is only for women who are through recovery. So stay focused, and I'll see you there when all is said and done.